Which is a perfect tie-in to this podcast because we are the Legends Lovers podcast, and that's
Yes,
the expanded universe in Legends. So
yes.
we love Legends here. So that's a great callback to the Legends reference from the Thrawn trilogy and Mount Tantiss and all that stuff.
That's the beauty of Dave Filoni, is because he has a deep respect for Legends, and since he's taken over Star Wars completely now, basically, he's starting to understand the fan base, what they want. I actually heard a quote from him. He said, "We want if we want to do something, we check Legends to see if there is something that is close to it or already pre-existing, and we see in a way we can apply that." So.
And that's so cool to just see that as almost not actually a slap in the face to Kathleen Kennedy, who was like, we don't have a bunch of books or comics that Marvel has to go off of, and everyone's screaming that we have the EU, but then we have Dave Filoni here using it. Welcome back, everybody, to the Legends Lovers podcast. It's so good to be back. Good to finally be recording regularly again. My name is Nathan Telson, and today we actually have a special guest, but we're going to get to that in a second. So, if you didn't know, last week on Friday, February 23rd, we posted a episode on Darth Vader and the Lairs of Darth Vader, and that was a lot of fun. So, go ahead and go check that out. And remember that you can call into the show and just give us advice and stuff. And I have the email working again. I know last episode I said that it wasn't, but I fixed it. So feel free to email us and contact us. But yeah, so today we actually have a guest on the podcast, and I'm super excited. And it's Eli. So Eli, say hello.
Hey guys, how's it going?
So because it's been like 3 years since I posted, I think it was July 21, so it's not quite 3 years. We're going to be kind of just recapping Star Wars since 2021 rolled around. So we've got a little list of things to talk about today. And then we'll kind of just roll through it and we'll see where it goes. We may not get to everything, but it'll be fun. So to start it off, we're going to talk about Bad Batch. Bad Batch surprised me. I was not excited about it. I didn't like them when they were in the Clone Wars. I did not like those episodes when they first came out. Not a big fan, and I know Eli actually was the one who told me they're making a series, and I'm like, that's what they're doing with the Clone Wars now. And the first episode came out, and I was hooked. It was like an hour and a half long, and it was just one of the most exciting, like, to see that come out. Like, obviously Clone Wars came out, but that was a lot of fun to just be a part of. So before we talk about it, Eli, or before I say anything else, Eli, general thoughts on Bad Batch. Let's start off with season one, and then we can go into season two later.
So season one, I thought season one was great. I wasn't a huge fan of the idea of a series at first. The whole arc, I actually was the better arc. My second favorite of the Clone Wars, my least favorite being the middle arc.
Agreed, agreed.
But the Bad Batch show, they announced it almost immediately after the airing of the final episode of Clone Wars. I was skeptical at first, but an hour and a half long episode was really good, and it ended up being very interesting, and it ended up being very interesting to see where everything is at with the clones and on Kamino at the time of Order 66.
I totally agree. I really enjoyed the I know I before I graduated high school and before my senior year, I really wanted to go into voice acting, and I would walk around and go, good soldiers follow orders, and just do the Crosshair impersonation. But that was I enjoyed seeing Saw Gerrera, and like I think Omega is and was such a memory or mystery. That was really cool. Did you have any speculation about Omega, and did it come true? And going into, I know we haven't touched season two yet, but going into season three, the final season, what are you expecting or hoping for regarding Omega? And everyone listening, just so you know, the only prep we did for this is we're reviewing the things that have come out in the past couple of years. So I have the only things written down are just the series titles. So this is all off the cuff, just random thoughts. So bear with us.
And we had the Bad Batch is supposed to come out next week too.
Right. Yeah, I
It's
forgot about
complete.
that. That's coming
So
out
yeah.
next week. The 21st?
Next week. That is the 21st, yes, so 8 days left.
Yes. So also for everyone listening, just so you know, this episode's coming out the first Friday of March, which I believe should be March 1st. And so we're recording this on the 13th. So obviously it's a little bit like when you're getting it won't be fully up to date, but we're going ahead and just part of keeping the podcast going is
Yeah,
making
we
sure
could
we're
even cover
pre-recording.
the first three episodes too when they come
Yeah,
out.
that's true. We should. Okay. All right.
We'll cover.
Episode after this, we're going to cover that and you'll hear about it.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have any speculation about Omega at first. She was very interesting as a character to
Right.
start out with. I feel like she got a way too much fan hate just because the accent and everything. I didn't really
Agreed. I actually really liked it.
Yeah, it was great. It was new, and it's cool to see. I know we're not really talking about season two, but it's cool to see the character development and how someone who has literally not seen any of the galaxy get their worldview opened up
Right.
and
Like, I mean,
everything.
what was it, episode two or three? I don't remember. It might have been episode four, even when she was at Cut Laquane's farm and she was like freaking out over dust, like the dirt and stuff. And she was like, she'd never seen dirt before.
Yeah, it's like when Rey sees green on Takodana in The Force
Right.
Awakens. I didn't know there was
Yeah.
something in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just thought the whole season one, just watching Omega, look around at the galaxy and see everything, it was just really interesting, especially,
Right.
seeing all that character development and everything, yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm trying to think. I think that episode, it was kind of cool to see Tarkin. I know we saw him in the Clone Wars and stuff, and obviously Peter Cushing is dead and we're not going to see him. But like just to see him, I remember my brother and I were watching it and he was freaking out over Tarkin's legs because of the animation and like also the military pants. He's like, "What's wrong with his legs?" But I enjoyed seeing Tarkin and then that like original or the callback to the Domino Squad, which I did a video or episode on a while back, the training arena or whatever where they were fighting the droids and they ended up using live fire and stuff. I really thought that was cool and just watching the Kaminoans try to negotiate their survival and failing nonetheless and stuff like that was just kind of fun to watch. Any other thoughts? I mean, obviously this is all off the cuff, but any other thoughts about season one of the Bad Batch?
No, not really. I thought the finale was fantastic.
The finale was good, yeah. And
Especially like seeing because the for years it's been inconclusive in canon what has actually happened to Kamino, but now
right.
it was kind of a big moment to realize, oh, this is actually what happened to Kamino and
Yeah.
the Empire's trying to control it, which we do see more of in season two, so.
Right, yeah, and destroying it and kind of well going back to season one, we'll move into season two in just a second, but getting to see I think Hera and like understanding her father, and obviously we saw them in Rebels
Oh yeah,
and that
definitely.
dynamic, but just to see it before like during the fall and like the politicians and how they were like on board with it and just I think Palpatine's influence with that was kind of interesting. And I think Hauser definitely is one of my favorite clones. He's up there for me. I
Definitely.
love the color of his armor. Lego, if you're listening, make a Lego figure for Hauser. I know you're not listening, but
Yes.
maybe another 1.2 thousand listens and we'll get Lego to listen to us.
Yes.
So, but moving into season two, I thought it was cool that when like I think it was episode one coming straight out of it, Rampart like heard that the Bad Batch was there or whatever, and he like totally was covering it up and stuff like that. That's just one thing that I remember. But any thoughts from season two, like what you thought, what you were excited about?
Once
Yeah.
again, seeing the worldview, like the first two episodes when they dropped, you get to see like they have a such a war-based view on separatists
Yeah.
and starting to go to Serrano and Dooku's castle and just see like what an actual separatist sees
Right.
in it. And then, you obviously see the Empire in season one too, but you see the Empire starting to take over more, become more prevalent.
Yeah.
And of course we have the stuff with Hemlock and
Yeah, he was cool. And like the gas stuff too. I know that was later, but like just to see that was kind of interesting.
He's a very interesting character, but to see Mount Tan to get confirmation that it is Mount
Yeah,
Tan.
Mount Tantus, yeah.
Because Mount Tantus is a huge part of the cloning operations in Heir to the Empire, which
Right.
phenomenal book series, still listening to it on audiobook. I'm about
Yeah.
to on third
Which
book, but
is a perfect tie-in to this podcast because we are the Legends Lovers podcast, and that's the expanded universe in Legends. So we love Legends here. So that's a great callback to the Legends reference from the Thrawn trilogy in Mount Tantus and all that stuff. Yeah.
That's the beauty of Dave Filoni, is because he has a deep respect for legends, and since he's taken over Star Wars completely now,
Right.
basically,
Yeah.
he's starting to understand the fan base, what they want. I actually heard a quote from him. He said, "We want if we want to do something, we check legends to see if there's something that is close to it or already pre-existing, and we see in a way we can apply that." So.
Right. And that's so cool to just see that as almost not actually a slap in the face to Kathleen Kennedy, who was like, we don't have a bunch of books or comics that Marvel has to go off of, and everyone's screaming that we have the EU, but then we have Dave Filoni here using it. And this is gonna off topic, but I know I've said it the past couple episodes. I'm gonna go off topic and rabbit holes, but I was telling in the last episode or two, no, the one that dropped on the 13th, that they need to hire Sam Witwer to be Dave Filoni's like assistant, because if you ever watch Sam Witwer talk about Star Wars and stuff, he's one of the few. There's actually a video on YouTube that I might end up playing on this podcast because it, I just keep bringing it up. But he out nerded Dave Filoni, and Dave Filoni was doing something in the Clone Wars, and Sam Witwer was like, actually, it wouldn't be like this because of this, and Dave Filoni was like, you're right,
Yeah, it was
and.
about Anakin's mother, and he was like,
Yes.
he was talking, I think Anakin was talking about how she would love Padme, and he was like, oh, they already
Yeah,
met.
they already met. That's what it was. Yeah, you're right. And so I think just having them two as a powerhouse with Jon Favreau, Star Wars would be unstoppable. But I'm trying to not to lose my train of thought here. But I think Bad Batch, I think it was interesting how it kind of like varying from season one, it was very on point about like the clones and Kamino, and season two didn't feel like as planned out. It kind of felt like it meandered a little bit, and obviously we did get Mount Tantus and stuff like that, but there was a little bit of world building, and it, I don't like to use the word filler, but it kind of was. And how do you think, do you think that was good for the story? Do you think they could have done something different? Thoughts?
I think the inclusion of some of the episodes, like that really weird laser, like walking giraffe
Yeah.
thing, was totally uncalled for. I wouldn't call that world building even. It was kind of
Like
filler,
the
but
Zilla Beast?
not the Zilla Beast. No, that's story related because that's cloning.
Yeah.
I'm talking, there was like this electric thing. They went on like a treasure hunt or
You're
something. There
right.
was.
Yeah. In the where their ship was stolen. Oh no. You're talking about like the first couple episodes.
There are just a couple filler
Yeah.
episodes where it's just like this, like some of them are world building and some of them are just like, why am I
Yeah.
even wasting a week looking forward to something and like
Yeah.
just the filler basically.
Yeah, the only times that I ever felt like those were helpful is because I feel like the only thing they really did was help build tension between them and Sid. And I listened to another podcast, and I've said it before in the podcast, that I listened to Rebel Force Radio, and they talked about it. They called it. They're like, Sid's gonna betray them. And so that's the only thing is they, I feel like every mission they failed, and that was the only benefit is because yes, it was like building the family and the community and whatever between the Bad Batch, but also building the tension between Sid. But could they have done that in one episode? Probably. Did they need all those in-between episodes? Probably not. But going back, the Zilla Beast, that was kind of cool to see a callback to Clone Wars. And also, you made a good point about how it connected to the cloning, and it gave us something to think about as far as, okay, so they are cloning. Like, what's going on over there? Are should we expect Palpatine clones walking around? Should we expect this to connect to the Mandalorian, which we'll get into that later. But that'll be in our talk about season three of the Mandalorian. But I don't know. Do you have any thoughts regarding that, or should we keep moving?
No, I don't really have any thoughts. We can keep moving.
Yeah, so do you think, okay, here's a question, and then I have one more, and then we can go ahead and wrap up the Bad Batch, talk about Tales of the Jedi for a little bit. But do you think that the episodes from where they were talking, like where they stayed on the island, what is it, Pabu, where they were building that, like, I feel like the conflict inside Hunter specifically about how he's definitely worried about, providing for everybody, and there are soldiers, but also the family aspect and taking care of Omega. Do you think that is going to play into the finale of season three, moving forward into, I guess, for us next week?
Yeah, it'll probably play into it. I mean, you even see, I'm pretty sure I did, I kind of do my own personal breakdown of trailers. I saw Pabu in the trailer. And it looks like you can see Wrecker has a very concerned face, or not Wrecker, sorry. Hunter has a very concerned face on. I think he might be trying to convince them to help him.
Yeah,
But
so
yeah.
that just gave me another thought. So going, like, ending with season three, do you think that, and this is just a, I mean, realistically, do we have any idea? Do we know Lucasfilm sources? Not really. Are we connected with Lucasfilm? No. But
No.
just judging from the story, I think that there's a good chance that two things will happen at the end of season three. One, Hunter and Echo and Wrecker and all them will save Omega and Crosshair, and they'll go live happily ever after. Or they'll die fighting the war. Like, there will be like a big final rebellion from the clones, and because obviously the clones are rebelling from the Empire, but we don't see them in Rebels. We don't see them in the Rebel Alliance. Besides, we see Gregor, we see Rex, and we see Wolf. But those are the only three clones we see. So, do you think they'll die fighting the Empire, or do you think
I
they'll?
think there's going to be a mass genocide of sorts against them.
Right.
Like, I just had a thought, like maybe a virus or something that targets their genome specifically,
Right.
or just like a massive conflict, and maybe even during before Rebels, like maybe there was an initiative to wipe them out completely.
Right.
But the reason we're not seeing as many clones is because they're being phased out, like
Right.
stormtroopers are becoming prevalent. I mean, you even see that in Bad
Yeah.
Batch season two. But
Yeah.
yeah, I feel like some will live and some will die. But what I do not want to happen is there's been speculation that Tech will come back and it just ruins his whole
Right.
sacrifice arc, and it's just like gosh.
Yeah, so that was actually my next question, is do you think Tech will come back? I'm of the party. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him back. Do I want
Yeah,
him
it's
back?
gonna be
No.
shocking.
I don't want him to come back, but I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they did bring him back, just because I can see it going that way. But do you, okay, so here's another question, kind of wrapping up this. But do you think that the Bad Batch will get a happily ever after, or do you think it'll kind of end tragically?
To some extent, yes.
Okay, like they'll get a happily ever after to a certain,
Yeah,
I mean,
to some
obviously
extent.
Tech isn't there, but yeah.
I think that, they might die peacefully, but I
Right.
feel like Omega will live at the very
Yeah.
least, because I don't think they would, the whole season be all for nothing.
Yeah. And so we're gonna, I think this is a lot of fun. And so we're definitely talking about this, and I'm enjoying this conversation. So we're going to go into more detailed conversation about what we think the end of season three is going to look like, and just kind of the Bad Batch. Maybe in our Bad Batch, like our breakdown of the first couple episodes. And so we'll talk about that. But any final thoughts for the Bad Batch?
No, not really.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to move on to Tales of the Jedi, and we're going to try to keep this episode. I was thinking it's going to be 30 minutes, and we're already at 19 minutes, which
You
is
want to
so awesome.
after Tales, we can move Tales of the Jedi, we can go to Mando and Ahsoka if you want.
Okay, well, we'll play this by ear, guys. We might end up splitting this into a part two, two-parter, or
Of
we might
course.
just having it go until an hour. So, fasten your seatbelts. That kind of seems like the move right now. But moving into Tales of the Jedi, I honestly had like no expectations whatsoever from what I remember. That was definitely like in that period of time, I was more, and even now, I'm getting back into Star Wars and listening to more podcasts and things like that. But at the time, I was working a lot. I was working 35, 38 hours a week doing school. And so, keeping up on the Star Wars news wasn't at the top or forefront of my mind. And so I didn't have any expectations. And this came out of nowhere. I saw the trailer, and the animation wasn't nearly as good as Clone Wars, in my opinion. But it was pretty darn close, and the stories were just so, like, I really enjoyed the Qui-Gon Dooku stories so much. So give us some highlights from the Tales of the Jedi miniseries, I guess.
Highlights, seeing how Dooku loses faith in the Jedi Order because of Qui-Gon's death. Seeing how he fell, setting up, oh, this planet is not in the archives, stuff like that.
Yeah, that was definitely, I remember thinking it was so cool. Like, you don't think about the gap between episode two and episode one. You don't think about Dooku being falling to the dark side during that gap. And so to find out that that's when Kamino, like, obviously I think we all speculated that Dooku erased Kamino from the archives. That was pretty much a sure, like, it was never, I don't, to my knowledge, never confirmed, but we all pretty much agreed unanimously within the fan base that that's what the case was. But to see it actually happen, and I think a big thing for me was to see Yaddle. I know in Legends she actually had an orange lightsaber, so it was a little disappointing for me to see a green lightsaber. But also, like, to see Yaddle and to see her talking normally, like, that was really interesting. And so it makes me wonder, like, I know she was only a couple hundred years younger than Yoda, to my knowledge. I don't know that she was the same age, but wondering why Yoda talks the way he does, just that was really interesting from that standpoint. And to get to see Dooku and Mace Windu and to see Qui-Gon was really cool. But also, I think getting to see Ahsoka, definitely my favorite arc was, like, from the episodes, the Qui-Gon Dooku arcs, I enjoyed more. But I also enjoyed the Ahsoka episodes as well. What was your, I guess, highlight from Ahsoka, the Ahsoka part, or your favorite Ahsoka episode?
So my favorite episode was the second episode because it sets up season seven, and season seven is really great. The training, seeing how Anakin was like, you can't do the bare minimum of everybody else, you have to be better. That was really great just to see. And then of course at the end of the episode they're like, all right, they're about to go walk in with Jesse and all them. But my one issue with the whole entire Ahsoka arc is episode three, because I haven't personally listened to it, but EK Ahsoka by EK Johnston, I'm pretty sure, that whole arc was not very faithful to, or the whole episode was not very faithful to the books, which is something that was also a huge concern after the big reveal in Bad Batch season three trailer with, Ventress returning.
Right, because she's going, like, I mean, I think we all kind of, I mean, I never read that book, but it's kind of cool to see that, yeah, it's kind of cool to see that they are, to my knowledge, tying that into the story.
Yes, I'm pretty sure the producer even confirmed they're like, just to ease the fans' worries, this will connect to the book Dark Disciple. But that was the whole issue because I was like, I mean, most of it was faithful, but
Right.
like the whole, I forget what it was because it's been a while since I've watched Tales of the Jedi, but it's been a while since I actually
Yeah,
knew, like,
same.
but there was a significant gap
Yeah.
with the storytelling there. But
Yeah.
yeah, that was my big issue with the whole series. But yeah, I really liked it and thought it was
Yeah.
great.
And I'm gonna touch on that real quick. I have a hot take, and I think most people agree with me. I don't, and this is kind of goes into what you were saying about the Dark Disciple. I don't want people or directors to just assume that that's canon. I love the fact that books and the EU are there, but I think that it's, and I love the EU and I love the stories, but I would rather them just incorporate the stories into the modern stories, like Heir to the Empire. Like they're like, even if they like did a like live action version of Heir to the Empire, that'd be great, but I don't think that they should box fans in
That's
is
what
not the right way
should
to
have
say
done
it.
sequels, in my opinion, was just
Yes,
Heir to the Empire, basically.
they should have done adaptations or versions of that story. I don't think that they should have
And
say, oh,
paste.
this story happened in like with Asajj Ventress, say, oh yeah, she mentions Quinlan Vos or whatever happened in the Dark Disciple book, and like, oh, the Dark Disciple is canon, and now all the fans have to go buy this book and they have to read it, and it's a lot of work rather than just adapting it to the series or making another series. It's, I feel like the books are more source material for directors and writers to use in the films than for them to say this has to connect to the book. Now, that being said, do I think it's amazing that they are connecting to the book? Absolutely. And do I think that they should use the books? Absolutely. So like with the Ahsoka, granted, I'm gonna, Ahsoka is Dave Filoni's baby, I guess. It's like his first character that he ever wrote in Star Wars. Like that's his character. He has the right to do whatever he wants with her. But it's also cool to see them respect other artists and authors in what they write. And so I personally never wrote that book or read that book. I haven't heard great things about it, but I haven't heard bad things about it. So that's just my opinion. Any thoughts on that conversation?
No, not really. I mean, I'm glad that they are somewhat faithful to the books
Yeah.
because, there was a time when the upsetting thing is there was a time when George Lucas was like, "Hey, all this is canon for the
Right.
EU and everything." And then
Right.
Disney came in and was like, "Hey, this is false. Our trilogy is the main thing," which, to be honest, I'm pretty sure some people just ignore the sequels at this point
Yeah.
and still consider the EU canon,
Yeah.
even though that it's not Disney canon or whatever. But I think that just to be more faithful to the books and stuff, it's just better because, like, with Thrawn and everything, they literally brought in Timothy Zahn and said, "We want you to pick the role of Thrawn
Right.
because you wrote him, you know what he looks like, you know what
Yeah.
he's gonna sound like." So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, any final thoughts for Tales of the Jedi?
Nope, thought it was a great show though. It was really good.
Yeah. Excited for
Really good
season
arc.
two.
Yes, season two was announced.
Yeah.
Yes.
One thing I was talking, I don't remember who I was talking with this. I think I mentioned it to you, but I would love to see a Tales of the Sith. Like
Yes,
a
you did.
sister series or whatever, where they kind of like, not that they like line up, but just to see like maybe Darth Bane or like Revan or something. I know on the podcast I've talked about Revan, and I actually did a summarization where I went through and kind of talked about like the entire book, the Legends book, which that's actually not a terrible idea, cool idea. If you're listening, let us know if or let me know if you want to see us or me do that. I don't know. Eli definitely is going to be on more and more because this is a lot of fun. It's a lot more fun talking to someone than just talking to yourself. But moving on, we're going to talk about Kenobi next. There's a lot of mixed feelings about Kenobi.
There.
When I look at the story, I'm not terribly upset. The story could have been better, but if I think about it on like a basis level, I enjoyed it. It was a par story, but when I look at the effects and stuff like that, like in the background when he was on Tatooine working at that plant and walking back, you could just tell that the budget was not there, and it was kind of disappointing. That being said, I loved this, and we're gonna get into some of my favorite parts about it. But just like any like general thoughts, like did you enjoy it? Did you not? I know it's this is one of the more divisive streaming series out there. Just like this and Book of Boba Fett are pretty divisive. People either love them or they hate them. So thoughts on Kenobi, or I guess it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. I always thought that
It
I
was
enjoyed.
titled Kenobi originally, I'm pretty sure, and then they changed it to Obi-Wan, and then everybody just kept calling it Kenobi.
I just think it would have been so cool if they, and I guess it doesn't make sense with it titled what I would have liked given the context of when the show took place, but it would have been so cool if they made it Old Ben. Like that would have been so cool, or even just Kenobi. I think Obi-Wan Kenobi is too much. And I know this is something that we'll probably talk on soon, because I think at the end of the show we're gonna, if we have time, I don't want to go too long, but if we have time, I'd love to talk about what we'd like to see for the future. But the new movie that was re announced the end of last year or beginning of this year, The Mandalorian and Grogu, or
It was,
T-Mag.
yes. This was January 10th, I
10th?
believe.
Okay. Yeah. So I know Rebel Force Radio and a few other people are calling it T-Mag, The Mandalorian and Grogu, which I think is kind of funny. But like that's like a mouthful. But Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think the title could have been better. But now that I'm done talking, I want to hear some of your thoughts in general about the story.
I thought the story was pretty good. Upon release, I know reception, like you said, was pretty bad from the fan base. I was not a huge fan of Reva, the Inquisitor. It makes sense, but like everything about it was good. It's just the way that like Leia and everything, it just something felt off.
I agree.
And Ewan McGregor, he said multiple times, even recently, he said, "I want to come back as Obi-Wan." And he said, "Mail into Lucasfilm saying I want a season two." And I was like, I love Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan. I just can't do another season two because just canonically, just doesn't make sense. And even at Celebration, the actor for Leia was like, "It's so weird that they put me under a cloak. Everybody could see me. Like that's not fooling anybody." I was like, even the actress thinks it's a little, but I thought it was all right. It wasn't my favorite. It was pretty
I think all the ideas were great. The execution was just, it could have been better. I
good.
actually really liked Reva. I was not exactly excited at, like, I think that they should have just let her, like, they should have just, when she was killed, they should have just left her dead. But also, at a certain point, that end scene where she was chasing after Luke and stuff like that was a good scene. I enjoyed that, but it was kind of hard to like get behind it when she had just been stabbed in the stomach. And that's a big thing. The Inquisitor, the Grand Inquisitor, I know Kanan
Makes
killed him in
sense.
Rebels. Like the whole thing with him having two stomachs is just such a cop out answer, in my opinion. Like Qui-Gon
Yes.
Jinn, he got stabbed in the stomach and he only has one stomach, so he survives. And it's like,
Yeah, that's like a whole thing because you got Sabine, you got who else? Sabine,
And
you got Reva, you got who
the
else? I'm
Grand
trying to think.
Inquisitor,
Red Inquisitor.
I can't think of anyone else right now. But
Yeah,
and even
but
like,
there are a ton of people. There, I feel like a ton.
and it's like I'm pretty sure
Rey,
watching,
Kylo Ren, perfect example.
now
Absolutely
to be
perfect.
fair, they healed each other, but even still, like,
You
also
can't
she healed
really
him
like.
and then she healed him and then she was fine. And then I don't know, that whole, that's something that I just, in an idea, I'm actually taking note of it right now. There's a clip from Adam Driver talking about Kylo Ren and the original intent behind the character, and we're not even gonna touch on it right now, simply because I wanna have a whole episode titled like straight for the sequel trilogy. We're gonna talk about it.
Just break down the interview from that because there's some really interesting commentary in there where
For sure.
he says it's basically Vader's arc flopped. Like,
Exactly that.
exactly.
But even like going back to the getting stabbed in the stomach, like if it goes through and through, you have a spine. Like there are just certain things that I just am not a fan of, and they could have done a better job. But
And the
also, I
thing with
think,
Sabine is she gets stabbed like You can clearly see she gets stabbed like close to the edge of her body,
Yeah,
which
that's different.
you're basically just trying to say, hey, this is just not any vital organs. She's just getting
Right.
stabbed. And
Yeah,
I'm
you could
just
definitely tell they were more intentional about that one and making sure
yeah.
that, like, the uprising. But even still, she was, like, fine in a day. And that could be
The
attributed to
stab
her
wasn't necessary.
Mandalorian. Say
Yeah.
what?
The stab, I don't think the stab was necessary. I think they should
No.
have like knocked her out or something and she woke
Yeah,
up
or,
in
like,
the next
cut
episode
her
not.
arm off or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not that aggressive, but you know what I
Yeah.
mean. Let's talk about that final Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi fight. Like, Hayden Christensen, and actually, we're going to hold off on that final fight. Hayden Christensen, they did a great job with Obi-Wan or Ewan McGregor's CGI, but Hayden Christensen to me looked like a 40-year-old trying to play like a 19-year-old. Like,
Yeah.
they did, and I've done some very, very, very small research on that, but it looks like they did try to do CGI on him,
They did.
and they just didn't do a good job at all whatsoever, which is probably a testament to the budget, but that was something that I was like, eh. But to see him was so cool. Were you excited when you got to see Hayden Christensen?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't even think he was behind the mask most of the time, or it wasn't noticeable. I mean,
Right.
they advert like it was the same thing with like they you have Pedro Pascal. They're like, oh my gosh, he's behind the mask, and then you're like, and then you see interviews come out months after season three, and it's like, hey, it's somebody else. He's doing voiceover. I was like,
Yeah.
okay, but like, I wish they would have shown Christensen more because he has talent. But the CGI, the whole episode four, it was the episode with the flashback. Ewan McGregor looked fine. It's just
Right.
Christensen, you know, just looked a
He
little.
looked a little old, yeah.
Yeah. But that whole final fight sequence made him. I was just like, that's good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I remember, yeah, the final fight sequence. It was cool to see kind of like the younger Anakin and Obi-Wan, and I was hoping that we would have gotten to see a little bit more of like Clone Wars Obi-Wan and Anakin. Like, you know how they were more friendly, like they were brothers, but this one it was just showing Anakin, and it was cool to see the parallels between Anakin then and Anakin in modern time, I guess, during the episode. But moving on to the final fight, that was such a cool scene, and to kind of it was a similar scene to Ahsoka and Anakin's fight in Rebels, but just to see Anakin, and it tied it, and I talked about this in the episode that came out last week for everyone listening now, how Anakin like basically tied in with Return of the Jedi, where he was like admitting
Oh,
to killing himself, like his other personality, and that was just so cool. Do you have any
yeah.
thoughts? Like, what did you really like about that final battle?
You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker,
Yeah.
I did. Best
And
line. It was like so
oh,
cold. I remember sitting like,
yeah.
oh
And just the
God.
delivery was on point.
And
Oh
that
my
just shows
goodness.
how Obi-Wan reacts in A New Hope. He's just kind of let go.
Yeah.
Because it took, you know, up until that series, it took Obi-Wan time to heal from that, and at the end
Right.
of the fight and everything, and also the choreography of that fight, that whole fight. I mean, the lightsaber choreography is pretty good, but my favorite choreography is from Ahsoka.
For sure.
In years, yes. But I was just kind of like, apparently they're playing Duel of Fates on. There's videos of that on the set, which I think is
Yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's really cool just to see his evolution in between the period between A New Hope and Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, for sure. Give us a little insight into that period. Which, any other thoughts on Kenobi? Or Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No, not really. I think it was pretty good. It has
Yeah.
its issues, believe me, but
Yeah.
you know, it's a show. It's a good show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And so, moving on to, I guess, that same time period, we've got Andor. And that's
Oh.
kind of similar to Rogue One and stuff. And I think we're just going to go through. I know we talked about maybe doing it a two-parter. We're just going to send it and do this all in one episode. But Andor, I was surprised. I don't know that I was super on board with it at first, but I was genuinely surprised by how much I enjoyed the show. And I think I loved every aspect of that show. Like getting to see Andy Serkis was probably one of my favorite parts of that show. That arc was so much fun, and
Oh, yes.
just the on program, like
Yeah.
just that whole show was actually really cool. And I know this is not exactly what we're talking about, but the whole idea that there are different genres of Star Wars is one, cool that Star Wars can have multiple genres, but two, also I think that it should be geared. George Lucas always intended it for be a family show, family friendly, like boys, girls, mom, dad, everybody can sit down and enjoy it. And this show kind of threw a wrench in that. I know Visions kind of is not the same thing, and I'm actually gonna have a whole episode where I just kind of talk about how I'm not a fan of Star Wars Visions. But this show, as in general, was really good, really well done. Excited to see season two probably next year, I think, is when, like, there's a chance we can get it in 2024, but likely to see
It
it in
is very,
2025.
very slim with the recent SAG-AFTRA strikes.
Yeah.
But Andor, in my opinion, sorry for interrupting, by the way,
No, you're good.
Andor is probably my favorite piece of Star Wars media.
Okay.
Because it nothing really got me excited. Andor, what I didn't I thought Andor was just gonna be your generic Star Wars show, but like
Right.
the score, like the music, the
Music.
art are beautifully, absolutely beautifully executed. There's just all the details too that go
Yeah.
into it. And there was always the vision of having the average Joe, just seeing what his view is rather than see
Right.
it from the hero of the story. I mean, that's literally what Rogue One is about, and that's
Yeah.
what Tony Gilroy is trying to do here. But it's got to be my favorite, because my favorite arc is probably the heist arc. It's so
Oh, it's
interesting.
so cool.
The buildup is incredible.
Yeah. That
And
final
the
scene where they're
prison
flying
scene.
out, like, oh.
Yes. And the and the oh yeah, the visuals are insane. Absolutely incredible.
And I
But yeah.
think another thing with the catwalk scene where, oh, what's his name? I want to say Luther, but that's not right. The catwalk scene where I'm sorry everybody for blanking. I haven't watched Andor in a minute, but where the spy guy is talking to the spy, I guess, and he's like, I've sacrificed
Luthen,
everything. Luthen,
Luthen
okay, I
Rao,
was right.
yes.
Yeah, Luthen, that scene, in high school I did dramatic interpretations and stuff like that, and definitely was into acting for a certain stint, and I would have eaten this up. I would have done that for sure. That scene was so cool, and just to watch his shop and to see all of the Easter eggs in it. I'm not a big Easter egg guy, but just to see how they're incorporating legends and just the lore of Star Wars into the whole conversation.
I'm very, I love Tony Gilroy, the way he executed all those arcs, and the final arc especially, like the whole eulogy
Right.
thing with Marva telling to rise up, which almost got very vulgar apparently
Yeah.
during filming, which they Lucas had to interview or had to intervene and was like, hey, y'all can't do this.
Yeah, which I'm glad about that.
Yeah, I think we should, it got pretty intense, especially in the first couple episodes, with everything going on. But yeah,
Yeah.
it was
Yeah.
definitely some people went as bold as to say it's the best thing since Empire, which little bit of a
Yeah.
stretch
I agree.
there.
Yeah. I definitely think my favorite piece of Disney media is Rogue One.
Oh yeah.
Rogue One is up there for me. But any final thoughts or points of interest on Andor?
No, not really.
Alrighty, so I know I said that we're going to try to full send it, but we're hitting 45 minutes, and I think The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka could be a whole nother hour. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We're definitely going to
Yes,
touch
it is
on,
massive.
yeah, so we're going to touch on all of this again next episode, and we're going to talk about the future of Star Wars, But before we go, I just want to go through Bad Batch, Tales of the Jedi, Kenobi, Andor, or Andor, and kind of rank them 1 out of 10. And then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up after that and try to be done at the 45-minute mark. So, real quick, just the Bad Batch. I think season one, I give 9 out of 10, but because of season two, I think I'd give that like a 7 out of 10. So as a whole, I'd give season Bad Batch an 8 out of 10. I don't know how you feel.
As a whole, I would put it at a 7.
7 out of 10? Okay.
But it's mostly weighed by filler,
Right.
in some parts.
Yeah. All right. And then Tales of the Jedi. I think I'm gonna give that probably a 7.5 out of 10, just because I feel like some of the Ahsoka episodes, like the first episode of Ahsoka, was cool, but also I was like, So 7 out of 5 or 7 out of 10, it'd probably be Tales of the Jedi for me.
Yeah, 8.5 for me at Tales of the Jedi. Massive issue, obviously, with the novelization stuff, but not too
Gotcha.
big of an issue.
Yeah.
But still a fantastic show.
Yeah. And then for Kenobi, I think I'm gonna sit here at a 6 out of 5. It was just a little bit better than Par, but you could definitely tell that the budget and stuff like that wasn't there, and obviously COVID definitely impacted that show.
Of course. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on a six.
Yeah, or 6 out of 10. I keep saying 6 out of 5. And then finally, Andor. I think I'm gonna give that an 8.5 out of 10. It was just well written. The scripts were really good. The acting was on point. The effects were amazing. It was just a well-rounded show.
Yeah, that gets a solid 9 for
Nine.
me.
Awesome. Well, it has been amazing having you on, Eli. Definitely glad to do this and hopefully to do it again soon. Alrighty. Well, we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up, guys. Thank you for listening. If you get a chance or if you have any ideas, we'd love to hear from you. Call in, email. Email is legendslovers@protonmail.com. You can call in. That's a function. We have polls and stuff at on Spotify and different things like that. And we're on pretty much every Spotify platform or podcasting platform: Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that. And we'd love to see you guys in the next episode. May the force be with you.
Yep.